Tape continued with Effie Mae Burns by Stephanie Jones.
It was so hot in the mill that Mother's clothes would be just glued to her from perspiration. The lint from the cotton would be in her beautiful hair. It made me sad for my mother to have to work so hard. The mill now had 3 shifts of 8 hours each and was our city's main employer. As early as 1899, Pisa Manufacturing Company had begun construction of rental homes for the employees. A school, grade 1 through 5, was established for the children of the employees. After that, the children transferred to Piedmont City School. At that time, there was no law to keep children in school until age 16, so many dropped out in both schools at an early age. During the 1920s, there was a dance called Charleston, which appealed to all the young people and children. All my little friends and I would dance to music from the Victrola. That's a trademark applied to a kind of phonograph. This dance did not require a partner. The first automobile I remember riding in was the Model T, put out by Henry Ford in 1915. The gas tank was underneath the front seat. When the gasoline was bought, those sitting in the front seat got out and the seat was moved out with the gasoline in. Mother had enrolled me in Sunday school at the First Baptist Church, which was constructed in 1907. Since the Congregational Methodist Church was too far for me to go alone, and Daddy no longer had the interest in going to church that he once had, it was too long a walk to carry a child, and Mother couldn't go. The decision to send me to another church was difficult for her. Her great uncle, John Howell, this was great grandmother Frady's brother, was the first pastor of the new Congregational Methodist Church. So our ties there were deep. However, with her religious and moral convictions, she knew that I needed to be in Sunday school and church. I immediately felt at home and knew a lot of the children from school. I am grateful, indeed, to the many fine ministers and Sunday school teachers who influenced my life. The history of radio really began in 1873 with many discoveries in the field. The man who is generally called the inventor of the radio is an Italian named Marconi. It is believed that the first one in Piedmont was owned by Mr. E.J. Woods. He placed it on his front porch, turned the volume up so all his neighbors could hear about the prize fight between the famous Dixie and Phoenix. Years later, when we got our first radio, I have memories of the Grand Ole Opry, Fibber McGee and Molly, Jack Benny, George Burns, and Grace Abbey, and many others. On May the 20th and 21st, 1927, Charles A. Lindbergh flew his plane, Spirit of St. Louis, solo to Paris from New York. He was our hero. By the time Evelyn was three, I was teaching her a lot. She was a very smart child and memorized well. She always loved to sing, and learning a song was no problem to her. By that time, Mother let me take her to Sunday school and church. She loved to stand by me in the pew and sing right along with the congregation. If she grew tired, I would hold her while she slept and carried her a lot in the walk to and from church. Most little girls had a playhouse, and Daddy let me use a big part of a building he had in the backyard. My friends and I spent many happy hours there. In these playhouses, I was introduced to the art of playing paper dolls. Give a little girl last year's Sears robot catalog to cut out all the dolls and clothing they would need, and she was in heaven. We made cardboard houses and furniture for the doll family we had created, the perfect home. Across the railroad tracks, behind our house, was an area known as the wagon yard. Farmers came to town, and this is where they left their horses and wagons. It was a shortcut to town, and I always enjoyed seeing all the wagons and horses and the farmers standing around talking. Also in this general area was a cotton gin, grist mill, and a blacksmith shop. I loved to hear the operation of this going on, and especially enjoyed hearing the hammering of the smithy and seeing the sparks fly. Horses were also being shod. In the fall, the farmers would bring their wagons loaded with cotton, and the gin would run practically day and night. Huge bales of cotton would be everywhere. At that time in history, all cotton was hand-picked, as farmers had not yet been mechanized. Many farm children were kept out of school for several weeks during cotton picking time to help get the crop in. The school I attended was the Francis E. Willard Grammar School. Grades 1 through 6 were taught there. It was a two-story building with a basement for restrooms. In first grade, my teacher was a Miss Graham. Second grade teacher was Miss Ethel Jackson. Two big events happened in second grade. I got to tell about my baby sister and received my first note from a boy. Harry Sanders wrote these words, "You are my sweetheart." Third grade teacher was Miss Molly Wright, and all the children loved her. Fourth grade, Miss Mary Roberts. Fifth grade, Miss Ollie Coo. And sixth grade, Mr. Hodges and Miss Leola Roberts. Miss Leola was loved by all the children she ever taught in her long career. I had a tonsillectomy done during Christmas holidays the year I was in sixth grade. This was done at Harvard Hospital in Georgia. I lost a lot of blood due to a hemorrhage and had a longer convalescence than expected. During these years, there was no electrical refrigeration. Homes had ice boxes, and the local ice plant sent out trucks daily to deliver ice. A lot of young boys were able to get summer jobs doing this. I liked to watch them use the ice pick to cut out the right size. A lot of nice-sized chips would fall off the block of ice, and all the neighborhood children would be given one to enjoy. There was no simple way to do laundry. In all backyards, there was a big black iron pot for boiling the part of the laundry that needed it. A fire was built under the pot, filled with water, soap added, and laundry was stirred with a batting stick. Big tubs were filled with water, and the laundry was hand washed before going into the pot. The laundry was rubbed on the board of metal with uneven surfaces called a rub board. All this washing, boiling, rinsing, hanging on the lines was almost a day's job. Mother was a gifted seamstress, and in sewing for other people, she managed most of the time to hire someone to do it. In those days, many people of both races would accept menial odd jobs for very little pay. 50 cents would hire someone to do all that laundry. Most families had a vegetable garden, and canning was a big job each summer. I helped Mother all I could, but my main duty was to take care of Evelyn. Hogs were raised for meat, which could be cured at home. Swine were eat table scraps and commercial food that Daddy called shorts. I would take Evelyn with me to feed our hog, and it is commonly called swapping the hog. The food would be poured through a trough so that a hand could not get near the hog. She and I would always decide on a name for her hog, grow very fond of it, and cry when it was slaughtered. After all, we had watched it grow from a small pig to a big hog of approximately 200 pounds. In addition to a garden and hogs, Grandfather also had chickens and a cow. Grandmother would always expect me to churn for her each morning in the summer. It's a slow job waiting for the butter to come when you wanted to be out playing. But the milk and the butter was delicious, and Mother bought what we needed from Grandmother. When we moved to Piedmont in 1920, all roads were dirt. Smith Street became more important for a cement pipe, which is a short name for turnpike or a main road, was included in the route from Anniston to Piedmont. Therefore, the movement of vehicles became more frequent by our home. There were no cement sidewalks, and today, approximately 70 years later, there's still no cement sidewalks there. The street was renamed Memorial Drive a few years ago. A Veterans Memorial Park is located on it. The name change is very appropriate. Since life revolved around church and school, there were a lot of birthday parties and picnics in the summer. I really liked to roller skate, and we'd get together with friends, and we would go where there were cement sidewalks after school for about an hour. I desperately wanted a bicycle, and Mother was afraid I would get hurt. And in the meantime, without her knowledge, I was learning to ride on friends' bikes, but I never got one of my own. I was a very skinny child with brown straight hair cut short with bangs, brown eyes, and a sprinkle of freckles across my nose and under my eyes. I lost the freckles by the time I was a teenager. Cooking always interested me, And at the time I was in sixth grade, I could bake a good cake and make different candies. I did this each Saturday morning. I also was learning to embroider and sew.